looking at Luke chapter 21, there are some things here that I thought would be good to go over. How many people know God? Let me see your hand. You know God. Yeah, let's be honest. It's hard. The question is hard to answer. We didn't know God. Know him. Well, we may, in the future, get into understanding what the scriptures tell us about him so that we can get to know him better. Because the more we know him, the less likely it is that we'll fall into fear when we see things happening, fearful things happening on the earth, the better we know him. So as we look at this, I want to look at Luke 21. I want to start with verse 25. We're going to go from prophecy to prayer. Luke 21, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus is giving to us a list of the signs that will happen before the coming of the Son of Man. And I think we're seeing these things now. Aren't we? Sure we are. And I know that the people are getting a little fearful about some of the things that they see. And they are fearful things for sure, but we don't need to worry like other people worry, because we know God. The signs are appearing. First of all, in the sun. Now, you can Google these things if you want. But apparently, we're in a solar cycle of sunspots and storms and those kind of things. Solar storms and sunspots, that's what they're called. Now, the problem with this is the sun is 83 million miles away, if I remember from my seventh grade. 83 million miles away. That's a long distance. But it's close enough. For the sunspots and those storms that happen on the earth kick out that radiation, and if the earth is on the side of the sun where these storms erupt, well, there's things that could happen. They could knock out our power grid. We would have to go without power, electrical power, because of these things. Not only that, but they could knock out and destroy electronic devices. So if you're headed somewhere, depending on your GPS, you're lost. If your car continues to run, that is. Because these things can wreak a lot of havoc. We're dependent upon the sun. I know it doesn't feel like it today, nor does it look like it, but we are dependent upon the sun. And Jesus said there's going to be signs in the sun and in the moon. Y'all remember last week Saturday, the moon was the closest to the earth as it has been in nearly 20 years. Did you feel it? Did you reach up and touch it? I remember years back in Michigan, going out in the field, or even in the yard, laying down on my back at night and looking up at the stars, just looking at the stars. Anybody ever done that? And you get to the point where you're looking that it seems like it's almost possible to step right up into them. Once you get taken by that. Well, the moon was so close, not that we could step onto it, last Saturday, that it caused some people to rethink this moon thing. Not that we can fire the moon or put it someplace else. No, don't. You can't do that. But the closeness of the moon, as a matter of fact, last Saturday, not only was it so close, but it was a full moon besides. But there is seismic activity that can result from the closeness of the moon. You know, seismic activity. Michigan, they might not know what that means. But here, we know it could mean the big one, for sure. And so people are coming now, not anymore, because Saturday is a week ago now. Not anymore. The other problem that they saw from this was tidal waves, tsunamis. Now, we all know what those are, right? Then I can speak Japanese. Yeah, tsunami. So the closeness of the moon caused the experts to have grave concerns about earthquakes and tidal waves, because they really had no way to control it. They had no way to change it. They were at a loss for answers. Well, Jesus goes on there in verse 25. He says that there will be distress of nations and with perplexity. So the distress of nations, I thought, I am not necessarily a fan of the international news in the newspaper. I look at the headlines and turn the page. Not anymore. There is something working inside of me that says, read some of that. Okay. Well, I found out last week that Portugal is on the verge of economic collapse. They're in a bad situation, a little country there. They don't want to be swallowed up by Spain because of this. And so the European Union is working at setting up a fund so that they can give this money to the nations that are in economic problems. Nations are in distress. And as was mentioned earlier this morning, our country is one of them. So we want to pray for our leaders that God would give them wisdom to know what to do. The other thing that comes to mind is the radiation fallout from the disaster in Japan. People along the coast of California went and buying up pills and these kinds of things. And we're not going to blame anybody in Japan about that. And California is wondering now, what about our nuclear plants, nuclear reactors? Maybe they could do the same thing. And then again, the European Union thought, well, we better check ours too. So they checked all of theirs because of this radiation fallout. Now, these two things are quite significant in themselves, but then we've got the Middle East and the unrest that's going on over there. Don't know what's likely to happen. And I was just thinking this morning that all of a sudden, didn't it happen like on one day or in one week that all these nations thought we don't want our leaders anymore and they went to protesting? All of a sudden, they started doing it. And I'm thinking, God's got to be at work at it. Who could have orchestrated that? All at one time. Yes. Well, these things might be enough, but there's something else that came to my mind when I was putting this together, and I thought, asteroids. You've heard about those, right? They're out there. Somebody is targeting planet Earth with these asteroids. And so, scientists are trying to come up with, trying to devise a plan to deal with these asteroids that are floating around out there. That they're afraid they're going to fall onto the Earth and cause all kinds of problems. Well, I think that that's part of prophecy, actually. And John saw it as a mountain falling into the sea. So with these things, the distress of nations, radiation fallout, Middle East, unrest, asteroids, what else do we have to worry about? You know, it makes you worry about getting old rather trivial, actually. So I look at all these things, you put these things together in the same bowl, mix them all up, and it's as Jesus said, there is this distress of nations with perplexity. They don't know what to do. And after the earthquake and the disaster in Japan, there was a commentator on the TV, poor man. He was getting very upset that we needed to find out who's causing the earthquake and the tsunamis. We need to find out who's causing that so we can get them to stop. And he was just getting all worked up in a frenzy because he was afraid. Talk about perplexity, because there is no reasonable answer that people can come up with. The sea and the waves are roaring. And if you want to do something this afternoon constructive, Google tsunamis. That's a pretty interesting video that you can watch if you Google that. The sea and the waves roaring. You're not going to hold back the tide. You're not going to hold back the sea. Once it rises up to accomplish God's will, it's not going to be stopped. That's why there's perplexity, because they don't have an answer. All the work that's been done in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, I would like to see if it can really withstand the onslaught that God could put on it, to see if man is really able to control things. Because I think man is going to be disappointed. Then in verse 26, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven will be shaken. So the result of all this activity is that those who don't understand, those who are in darkness, those who do not know God, are going to have heart failure. Their hearts will fail them because of the fearfulness that all these things bring on them. Where do I turn? What do I do? What's going to happen? The result is going to be heart failure because the powers of heaven will be shaken. And I've got a question for those who are mighty in power in this world: who can keep the heavens from shaking when God shakes them? Nobody. Nobody. It's better to know the one who's doing the shaking. That's what I'm going to pretend. Back in Psalm 11, verse 3, you don't need to turn there because I've got it up here on the wall. Psalm 11, verse 3 has got that rhetorical question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the powers of heaven are shaken, and all the things that we have come to trust of being eternal, those things that are just going to happen day in, day out, those things that we thought were permanent, now we find out they're not permanent, what can the righteous do? I think that's a valid question. Rhetorical, but valid. God's got an answer to this question. And we're going to seek that answer today. What God's wisdom tells us when we see these things shaken, we see these foundations destroyed, God tells us what to do. Now, it's his plan. He's working it out. I'm thinking we can trust him when he tells us how we should respond. However, what do we do when we see these things happen? What do we do? I'm going to give you three things here. First is, don't rely on your own wisdom. Don't trust your own schemes. And in Proverbs 3:5-6 tell us, don't lean on your own understanding. You know what Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Trust Him with everything you have. You can trust Him. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge that He's leading you to do this, or to say that, or to be this way. It's God's leading in my life that brings me to this place. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Don't trust or don't lean on your own understanding, because your heart is deceptive and wicked above everything. And if you lean on your own understanding, your heart's going to lead you astray. I know, I just don't have anything good to say this morning, but I do. Wait. There's better things coming. Jesus has an answer. Back in Luke 21, verse 28. Here's Jesus, part of Jesus' answer. You see these things happening? You see the powers of heaven shaken? The foundations destroyed? What are the righteous to do? Well, Jesus says here in verse 28, you ought to have this underlined. You ought to type it out and put it on the refrigerator. Jesus said, now when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Now, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Your redemption. Have you spent any time thinking about your redemption? What Jesus has done for us on the cross by the power of God? That redemption is drawing near when you see these things happening. I'm going to say this again. I'll say this till I die. My last breath. Trust in Yahweh. Trust Him. When you see these things happening, when you see the foundations destroyed, the heavens are shaken, you see these signs in the sun and the moon, and you see men's hearts failing them for fear, I'm going to say rejoice, because the Lord Yahweh, the Almighty, reigns. He's in charge. He's already told you these things are going to happen. We can rejoice because of what we see happening. Our redemption is drawing near. That reminds me of a story. I might get to it later. But we are told, we're directed to look up. Look up. Not around. Look up. Look up. Not around. Don't be worrying about what's going on around you. Do you remember Peter when he was walking on the water? What was it that caused him to sink? Anybody? He was looking around at how bad the conditions were. The waves, that's right. That's why we're directed to look up, not around. In Luke 21, verse 29, Jesus spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree. In fact, all the trees, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. It doesn't happen so much that I noticed in Pomona. But back in the tundra they call Michigan, there's a thing that they talk about. to show us signs of spring. You see, the crocuses bust up through the dirt and their little green buds, and then they turn into blossoms. You see the tulips come up. One of the sure signs of spring is right around the corner is a robin. When you see the robins return, you know spring is coming. And so it's these sure signs of spring. Well, the one I like is the baseball season starts. When baseball season starts, I know spring is right around the corner. You see the trees budding. You see the blossoming trees put out their little flowers, the dogwoods, the redbud trees. You know spring is coming. Now, spring in Pomona isn't that big of a deal as it is in Michigan, back in the Midwest, because winter isn't that bad. But if we'd had 4 months of waist-deep snow, sub-zero degree weather, no sun for weeks on end, the depression and the misery that that kind of thing brings, when you see that spring is coming, I saw a robin today. You tell everybody, I saw a robin today. You know what that means? Yes, spring is around the corner. You don't think so much about the groundhog in the shadow. The robin is the real sign. When you see crocuses come up, you tell people. People are telling people, yeah, the tulips are coming up. They're blooming. The surest sign of spring, because after a long winter, it is finally coming to an end. Better times are coming. I'm not going to have to shovel snow. I'm not going to have to put my boots on. I'm not going to have to wear those bulky coats. Spring's coming. Winter is at long last over. Really. What Jesus is telling us here are sure signs of the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. And he says in verse 30, when they are already budding, and you see, and you know. This is almost like common knowledge. You know for yourselves that summer is near. So also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Surest sign of the kingdom. Assuredly, he says in verse 32, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. How secure and permanent is the earth? The words that Jesus is giving to us are more permanent and secure than this earth. He said, the earth will pass away, but my words will not. These are the sure signs of the kingdom. We talked about the generations. This generation will not pass away till all these things take place. I'm not going to tell you when this generation started. I'm not going to be that foolish. But a generation is about 40 years. Once it starts, it's not going to take long. It won't take long at all. Rather than being afraid when we see these sure signs of the kingdom, we can rejoice because at long last the end of this evil age is at hand, which I'd rather see come to an end before winter, before I see winter over. The end of the evil age is at hand. Are you looking forward to that? It's coming. Hallelujah. It's coming. And Jesus said, just look at these things. Watch what's going on. You'll know by it for yourself that the end is coming. Another part of the answer to that question in Psalm 11:3 is found in verses 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's another part of the answer to that question in Psalm 11:3. It is really some hands-on kinds of things to do. I mean, you know, get a little antsy, and you know things are happening. But what am I going to? I got to have something to do. And Jesus said, "Well, here, in case you get antsy, here's some things to get busy about. Even if you don't get antsy, get busy about these things that Jesus talked about." Now, I know we've talked about this passage before, but I think it's important to be reminded from time to time about what Jesus tells us. Even more so as we see that day approaching. So, first thing is, be on guard. Be on your guard. Take heed to yourselves, in verse 34. Be on guard. Serious times are coming. They're very serious. We need to be on guard. And I'm thinking, like, you know, the sword fighting. You're going to do a sword fight with somebody, and you take your sword and you stick it up. What do you say? On guard. You're warning them. I'm coming at you with this thing, and you better pay attention, because I'm coming at you. Jesus is saying the same thing. There are some bad times that are going to be coming at you. I want you to be on guard, because there are serious times. Don't let your focus change. Don't let your focus change. These things are some of the things that can change our focus from seeking the kingdom. These things: carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. If you let your focus be changed, because you're concerned about the cares of this life, you could be drawn into that darkness and find yourself very fearful for what you see coming. We need to be on guard, or else that day is going to come on us unexpectedly. And he said in verse 35, it's going to come like a snare. A snare. Anybody ever set a snare? I tried that in the woods, it never really worked. We tried it anyway. Dad told us how to do it, we went out and tried it. Couldn't figure it out, but we tried it. A snare works like a trap. Now, if you've ever set a trap somewhere, you know, you want to put a trap. You want to set a trap for something that isn't aware of the trap. That's the whole idea. Otherwise, what is it? It's like a mouse trap. We've all set mouse traps, right? And then got mouse traps on, very easy to set. Yeah. So here's it. You've got this, remember the wooden ones with the wire on them? Okay, you put cheese or peanut butter or something on the little thing that you set it, you put it down, and the mouse comes and said, "Oh, look it, here's some nice cheese." Or, "Oh, there must be peanut butter this time." So the mouse cautiously moves up to it, sniffing. You can see his little whiskers, his tail twitching. And the closer he gets, the better it smells. The closer he gets, he can almost taste it. And he reaches out, snap, caught. The mouse says, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that." That's the whole idea of a trap. And Jesus said, if we don't pay attention, if we don't get on guard and watch out for ourselves, that day is going to come like a snare, a trap. And we might very well say, "I wasn't expecting that." Jesus doesn't want us to be in that position in the first place. The second thing is to watch for the sure signs of the kingdom. And you read in verse 36, watch and pray always. Watch and pray. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Watch and pray for the sure signs of the kingdom. And as happy as we are to share those sure signs of spring, we ought to share these signs of the kingdom with other people as well. But somebody at work says to you, Bob, did you see about this and that? Isn't this terrible? You can say, that just tells me Jesus is closer to coming back. And I'm happy to hear about it. The third thing is to pray always. So we went from prophecy this morning and here to prayer in this passage. Pray always. That is, as he says in verse 36, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all those things which will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Pray always. And in this prayer, it involves being counted worthy. To talk to the one in charge about what you see happening. Commune with him about these things that he's bringing about on the face of the earth and in the heavens. Is going to make us better able to be counted worthy and stand before the Son of Man. We will know when this is close. I got a little time. I want to tell you the story about the orphanage. All right, there's an orphanage. There's a bunch of orphans in this particular orphanage, and there's a new one that shows up, a new boy that comes in. And one of the older orphans is showing him around, telling him about things, and he says, oh, boy, I'm going to tell you too about adoption day. Adoption day comes. He said that you know that it's adoption day because you can see the cars pulling into the parking lot, and then those prospective parents will ring the doorbell to come in. You'll hear the doorbell. That's adoption day. So when you see the parking lot filling up the cars and you hear the doorbell ringing, that might be the day you're going to get adopted. So get dressed up, get cleaned up, come on downstairs and see if there isn't somebody that's going to adopt you and take you to their home, away from this place. Well, think of that. When Jesus said that our redemption is drawing near, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That citizenship transfer has already taken place. What we're waiting for now is the finalization of that transaction. When Jesus comes back for us, we know that it's getting close. Because he said, when you see these things happening, I want you to look up because that's where I'll be coming from. Because our adoption is going to be made finished. He is coming for you. 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 So we see these fearful things happen and the experts don't know what to do. Now you know what to do. Lift up your head. Look up. Lift up your head because your redemption is drawing near. That's the thing to do.